2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to quickly go to chapter 3. Hey, Kyle, turn me down just a little bit. I really don't even care if you have me amplified at all, but hearing myself and that microphone's just different now. All right. That's better. Thank you. 2 Peter, let's go to chapter 1 first, but we're ultimately going to chapter 3, and we're going to try to get the first 10 verses of 2 Peter chapter 3. But see, since we're coming back on Wednesday nights, I know this is totally different. It's different for me, too. And tonight, you know, me and Scott had talked earlier, and he was praying about a song. And he texted me back and said, you know, he didn't have anything on his heart. And, you know, somebody would say, well, I'd rather do that. I'd rather do stuff that God's in than just to do stuff. You know what I mean? So we'll pray. If God puts something on his heart before we leave tonight, then he'll sing. If he don't, then we're going to learn. So I threw a couple of extra verses in on this thing. Not that we needed any more time, but I just wanted y'all to see it. I was really tempted today. Gene came by the office today, and I was thinking on 2 Timothy chapter 3, and he mentioned it. So I was kind of like, all right, God, that's confirmation, you know. I'd already been studying on what we're going to do tonight, and I thought maybe that's where we want to be. If you're not thinking right now, if you're not thinking about 2 Timothy chapter 3, then you've probably not read the Bible very much. I'm not being sarcastic right there. I'm just saying 2 Timothy chapter 3, those first few verses tells you what it looks like in the end times. And then when we start reading that, you start looking and everything's going on, you start thinking. So it's a natural tendency for me to go there and teach that because I want y'all to know, hey, man, it looks like we're at the end of the time. But then every time I started praying about this, God said, you know, Kevin, there's been a lot of places in history that it looks like it's the end of time. There's a lot of countries and a lot of leaders and a lot of things come to the end of time. So then he dropped this whole thing in my heart because I'd already been studying it. He goes, how about your time? And that'd be what we're going to touch on tonight. But I want y'all to look at this. And 1 Peter, let's look at a verse real quick. Look at verse 16. Let's see, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. I'm going to give you plenty of time to find it, so if I mess y'all up, I just threw this in here because I want y'all to see it. For we have not followed cunning devised fables. Y'all see that? Is that where y'all at? Is that not good right there, what he starts out with in that verse? For we have not followed cunning devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Y'all see that? Was that neat? Ain't it good to get a perspective from somebody who walked with Jesus? Because sometimes, listen, I'm going to teach tonight. So, I mean, I might get carried away somewhere in this thing, but I don't know where it'll be. But I want y'all to get this. You know, this is somebody, you know, it's 2020, and you'll get a lot of times people will say, you're just following some kind of fable. I mean, it's just a storybook. You know what I'm saying? This is a man who walked with Jesus, and he reminds us here. This ain't fables we made up. This is a Jesus that we touched, that we walked with for 3 years, who called us out of our normal lives. I love how Peter puts it. He called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? Listen, have you ever been saved? You were in darkness, and he called you into his marvelous light, didn't he? Remember when he turned the lights on at your place? There's only about five of us in here. You can act a fool out here if you want to. I'm serious. Remember? Now, have you ever been in a place that didn't have power? Nothing didn't have power. That's a moment, ain't it? Yeah, I don't know. We moved over there on Young Road for a little while. If y'all didn't know, I don't know what's going on Young Road, but they can't keep power. I mean, I thought every time I turn around, the power's out. I mean, I'm like, man, is the power out again? We hadn't had. I don't know. I'm not trying. I'm just saying it's had a lot. But guess what? Every time, you know, no matter when it was, when the power came back on, well, you go, thank God, that's awesome, right? Yeah. Well, when God turned the light on for me, it was an amazing thing. When he turned it on for you, it was an amazing thing. But Peter reminds us, hey, we're not following some crazy thing. And I don't know why I'm stuck here. I put this in here for this purpose. Go one more. I was just sitting there as I was teaching that going, if I keep on, we're going to be here till 9 o'clock. Your faces in the desperation. Verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him for the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Wait. Stop. Do you know where we're at in the Bible right now? Do y'all know where we're at? This is the second epistle of Peter. Did y'all know that? Do you know this after this chapter, in the next chapter, in the third chapter, guess what? He's silent for history. He's done. He's run his course. He's lived his life. He walked 3 years with Christ. Then he became an apostle, and he was like the cornerstone or a leader of the church, and he began to teach and to preach. He'd done some great things, and then he wrote two epistles. And in his second epistle, when he's about to go silent for the rest of history, he's still writing about the Mount of Transfiguration. Guys, he was in the upper room. He was in the upper room when the church received the Holy Spirit. He was there when Jesus was resurrected. He seen that. But when he writes his last epistle and he talks about the majesty and the glory of God, he did not speak of a resurrected Savior. He talked about transfiguration Jesus. Because it was the very first time he seen Jesus as he is in heaven. Whew. Ain't that awesome? He was sitting there thinking, man, the first time, it wasn't the cross. After I received the Holy Spirit, it always made me remind, man, remember when we were on the Mount Transfiguration, we really seen who he was. And when he held on to that all the way through. I really seen him. He was God. Ain't that really, I don't know if y'all get into stuff like that, but when I read that, I'm sitting there thinking, man, how awesome is that? He's seen God face to face. He's seen him. He's seen him transform. He's like, wow. Now, I'd love to go on and teach a little bit more of that because it's one of my favorite places in the Bible because, you know, Elijah was there and Moses was there. And you know what he did? He got overexcited. Let's build three tabernacles. Peter, James, and John, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah in some form. And he said, let's build some tabernacles. And then he passed out. God, never mind. Heaven's going to be better than y'all think it is. Y'all know, that's good stuff. That's in your Bible too. Amen? Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. I know that was just a diversion, really, but I just wanted y'all to see what they seen with Christ. What have you seen with Christ? See, I don't have to, people say, well, what has God done for you? When God brought me out of my darkness and I've really seen who he is in my life, he don't have to do a lot of things all the time. He don't have to do more. God don't have to prove himself to me anymore. Amen? Does he have to prove himself to you anymore? He's proven himself to me. Amen? When he sought me and besought me and saved me. Amen? And then when I've seen who he really is, I don't have to have, well, God, if you're not going to do this for me, then I don't know if you're still going to be. Listen, we got to stop that. He is who he says he is. Amen? Golly, I didn't know it was going to take that long. Let's try to get, I promise, I'll go so fast in these next 10 verses. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This is the second epistle. See, he reminds her to your beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. It's okay to be stirred up. It's okay to be stirred up. If you're not careful, all your good will settle on you. Amen? All your good intentions, all your good fire, all your good everything will settle. It's a natural thing for anybody. Just settle. Peter is always, I'm gonna try to stir you up. I'm gonna try to stir you up. And I don't mean, I don't care. I could almost get rudimentary or like very simple right there. And we think, well, the preacher wants me to say amen, or he wants me to shout, or he wants me to do something. No, what? Stir up to action. Stir up to doing what God would have you to do. Amen. Stir up to obedience. Because sometimes, golly, can I really teach right there if y'all would help me right here? Sometimes God will stir some people up to shut up. Amen? Have you ever known somebody go, talk, and all of a sudden God get a hold of them and just totally silent, quiet, hold on, right? Somebody who's totally quiet, never says a lot, never says, does nothing, and all of a sudden they're doing, right? They're in obedience. Because it's not, there's not always what you think needs to happen, but when God gets a hold of it, man, it's something, ain't it? Have you ever watched God do something to somebody and you're sitting there going, wow, that's a God thing, because that's not out in their character. Amen? So that's what Peter's wanting to do, is stir up the church. Stir up your gift. Stir up who you are. Stir up in remembrance. You're saved for a reason. Amen? You're saved for a reason. That ye may be mindful of the word which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, now watch this, I want y'all to, let's go back. I want to kind of get 4 and 3 together, but let me get that last part right there. Walking after their own lust, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. There are going to be people coming in our time who are going to be, scoffing is a different kind of word for us, a mocking, kind of making fun of, jesting, going back to that thought of, y'all, this is a fable, right? Y'all believed in, y'all been saying for years, y'all said, oh, this is going to happen, and then they're all going on to their own lust, doing everything they want to do, everything they desire to do. You got to minimize Christ or minimize God and His second coming, that way you can do whatever you're going to do, amen? I can almost take you to a place that resembles this in Moses and Aaron, amen? Moses is up on the mount, and he stays up there for so long that the people say, we don't know what's happened to him. Let's do what we want to do. Amen? So we haven't seen Jesus come back. It's been about 2,000 years, right? Well, you didn't know, but before Jesus came the first time, it had been about 4,000 years. All right? So think about that. All right? We'll get into more of that in a minute. But I want y'all to let's get verse 4 in here with it. That way I can kind of weld these two together. And saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So let's stop right there for a second. Could you imagine what it was like? Peter's still alive. And he was already getting people. We're saying, hey, does Jesus come back yet? He's teaching this for a reason. I worry sometimes in our Bibles, in our churches, a lot of times, we don't teach on things that really are happening. We teach on things about out of the Bible and try to refer everything to the Scripture sometimes, and we'll let whole things happen to our church. We'll let things happen in our church and won't minister to those direct needs. Instead, we'll talk about Bible stuff, and we can all kind of relate to the Bible stuff, but we don't deal with anything that's in the church. He was dealing with some stuff that's in the church then, so he knew if this rocks on for another 2,000 years, there are going to be people who come because they're already here. I thought you said this Jesus was coming back. You've been preaching about this Jesus your whole life, Peter. And I could almost hear him. Couldn't you hear him say, man, he might not come for another 2,000 years. Come on. Have you not ever had a conversation like that? Well, the Lord, I think the Lord's come back. Every time I watch the news, me and Terry was talking right before the service. Every time I watch the news, I'm like, God, come on back. Come on back. Save two people. Me and these people on the news. Right? Come back now. So we won't come back. But guess what? Praise God. He could wait another 100 years. He could wait another 1,000 years. That's his thing. I'm going to get into more of that in a minute, but I want you to know that Peter had people just like that off the very in his lifetime. So don't be surprised. And also, can you make a note right here? If you don't make a physical note, make a mental note. You better not get caught up in the fact that you're sitting there always going and get on like the world and start saying, well, he won't come back. Amen? Because it can happen. He's come back. Sometimes as even believe, you know, we'll throw it out there, and you know, we'll almost kind of like, it's almost like, do we really believe? Oh, well, God come back. Hey, I guess everything. Oh, let me get. I'm gonna put the scriptures with what I'm about to say next. How about that? How about them apples? What's this? I said, how about them apples right in the middle of church? Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. What he said right there, hey, back a long time ago, God created everything. Amen? That same God, you're questioning whether he's going to come back. One day he just said, you know, let there be land, let there be water, let there be sun, moon, stars, the whole nine yards, okay? Verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. God, guess what? He destroyed earth by a flood. They were saying in that same time, I don't think he'll do it. I don't think he'll do it. What are you talking about rain? See, at that time it had never rained. Amen? It never rained. But one day, sure enough, they're all out there having the best time, having marriage, being in marriage, doing everything, talking about Noah and them, the crazy people up there on the mount, building an ark, and it was the craziest thing you ever seen. Next thing you know, there's a bunch of animals up here. You know, come on, that's good. I just want to be there for that one day. I'd love to have seen that, some of those days, you know what I'm saying? Could y'all imagine? You know, no, I mean, y'all, come on, just for a minute, just bear with me. Could you imagine working on art real bad? I'm talking about a bad, he hammered your thumb 4 or 5 times, and, you know, your boys is just being your boy. Come on, we look in the scriptures, and we think everything was just perfect, right? Was it Shem and Ham had some issues? Oh, my goodness. Everybody just having a bad day, and all of a sudden, you know, two elephants, will walk out of the woods. That'd make your day. In my case, two lions roll out the wood and just come over and just lay down by the water. Now, come on now, it's scripture. They had to show up somehow. Right? You know how good God was to them to let them see that? You would pay top dollar to go to the zoo. How much would you pay for, just every once in a while, some random wild animal would show up and lay down in your front yard? Right? And not eat you or nothing. Man, you know what? This goes so good with what happened to me right before church today. Some of y'all are still going, what in the world could this happen? We didn't put our garbage can out last week. Right? You know what that means? We had to double up all week in our garbage can. Guess whose job it is to take the garbage down to the end of the road? Me and Peyton's. It's the only job we got. You'll get this here in a minute. You should have said amen, too. It's the only job we got around the house. Seems like, don't it? That and mowing. We do the mowing. All right. Well, guess what? Thursday evening come around. Garbage is already full. We're cramming garbage in. Well, today, I'm a superhero today. Because I'm like, I ain't forgetting that again. You right? So I walk out there, but the garbage is not all piled up. The lid's actually closed. I'm like, awesome. Somebody's crammed the garbage down in there. Maybe it was my awesome son, Peyton. Well, I start pulling the garbage can down. It's about a 45-yard deal. And all of a sudden, out flies a 30-pound cat and gives me a heart attack. Jumps over my shoulder and runs across the yard. The thing's this long. I was like, ugh! It's like, no wonder the garbage was all packed down. Hey, it was a cat in there. Lid was so tight. Y'all didn't know how I was going to tie this thing into Noah's Ark, did you? She said, I'd have been passed out. Yeah. I almost was. If I had a gun, I'd be a dead cat. No, it was a cat. Had a tail that long. Sorry. But it may, you know what? I laughed all the way down there, laughed all the way back. I just come in, I said, you ain't going to believe what happened. That's the kind of stuff. God is God. You know, we want to be spiritual. Y'all won't believe it, but I was praying on the way down there. I was laughing on the way back. But, you know, right, it's amazing. You could have all that's going on, and God was doing great stuff in their life. But guess what? People would tell them all the time, He ain't coming. It's 120. You've been up here 100 years preaching and building this crazy ark. And then you start really getting down to it. If you ain't been to that ark up there in Kentucky, man, I'm telling you, that thing's huge. That's not a small thing. That's not a, and it had to be perfect because it had to withstand all the rains and stuff. And you know what? That's how salvation is. It's perfect. It's a one-day perfection. It's a one-door perfection. There's only one door in the ark. One-door perfection. Could make it through any storm. Had all the life on the inside of it. And when God was ready to close it up, he said, come on in. And he shut the door. Same thing he was talking about then. One day, God's going to shut the other door. Amen. Come on in. Amen. Let's go a little farther. God, I promise I'm going as slow as I possibly can. Whereby the world, or I think we got six. Let's get seven. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, I love that right there. Look at that. By the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Everything is kept by a word. God's promise. Man, that's a good promise, right? Did y'all get that? Everything's held up by his word. If God said it, it will happen. It happened before, will happen. All right? Verse 8, but beloved, I love this. This gets good. I think this is where the meat of where we're going to get your time. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years. Make a note right there. That'll help you a lot. And a thousand years as one day. Right? Did y'all get that? Because, look, so how many years since Calvary? How many years has it been since Calvary? Right? 2,000. To God, 2 days. Right? From Adam to Jesus, 4,000 years. To God, 4 days. Y'all see it? Ain't that neat? So when we're sitting there thinking, when somebody says, it's been all this time, you got to remember that we're dealing with a God who lives in eternity with no time, and we are living in time. Amen? Let's get this. Here it is. This is the meat. This is where it is. The Lord is not slack. He is not slow concerning his promise, as some men count slackness or being slow, but is long-suffering. Now listen, get this last part. This is huge. But is long-suffering to usward, not willing. This, I love this right here. There's a lot of doctrine right here. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do y'all see that right there? God, this is where there's a lot of doctrine here for us, where we believe, this is the way I believe, that he's not willing that any should perish. Now look, if there was predestination, if it was everybody had enough, they wouldn't say it that way. He's giving everybody a full opportunity. Y'all need to get right there. I don't care how you believe, but that right there for me tells me that it's God's will that he wants everybody to come. Anybody, whosoever, right? But listen to this. So there's two groups of people is covered right there, right? Let me get that last part of that verse. But that all should come to repentance, okay? So here we go. One, all come to repentance. He's trying to save those that are lost. Don't give up on anybody. Amen? Okay, so let's look. Okay, I almost threw that all the way over on somebody else. God is giving everybody opportunity to get saved. So if you're dealing with your salvation, I know most people here it's Wednesday night, but let me say this. He's giving you time to get saved. Ain't that awesome? How many? I didn't get saved till I was 30. Amen? 30. That's gracious. That's mercy. Can I tell you when God started dealing with me? When I was 8. I can tell, probably before 8, but I know 8. So God, he didn't come back that whole time. You know how many people probably prayed for God to come back in the 80s, 70s, right? The 90s, early, man, could you imagine? But 2004, he saved me. So sometimes when I get overzealous, you know, God's still trying to save some people, amen? He's working on some souls, amen? And if he was to come back right now, we'd be happy, but you got to remember that cuts some people out, right? Now, here, I title this, Your Time, right? Your Time. So it's your time. It's time to get saved, right? That's one thing for some people, time to get saved. But guess what? It's time for the saved to tell other people about Jesus, amen. Right? Because right here, now, see, this kind of nails me a little bit because I'm spending some time, I'm lending some of my time to this world, and I'm listening a lot of stuff and hearing a lot of stuff, and it's bringing me up to this place where I should be saying, God's not come back now, so I need to get busy serving God in a capacity that I can present the gospel to a lost and dying world. Amen? I need to be thinking, praying, studying, thinking, you know, doing everything I can, but I don't need to be feeding into the world situation and getting to a place where I want to go out and do something stupid. Because I do sometimes. Amen? I'm a protector by nature. If y'all don't know this, I'm a protector. You know, every fight I've ever been in my life has never been a fight that I got started between me and somebody else. It's always been helping somebody else out. That'll get you beat up sometimes. But I cannot stand to see somebody being picked on. I can't stand it. I can't stand somebody that I like being picked on, you know, especially. But a little, man, so I'll see somebody where somebody gets attacked and they're just walking down the street or something, and my head just blows up. Like I seen a little 9-year-old woman walking down the street, and a man walked by and punched her in the face, and she fell down. And all I could think about, and y'all think I'm crazy, and I wish this wasn't recorded right now, but all I could think about was, I'd like to take a trip and meet a guy. You know what I mean? And just let him know how I felt about that. Because it's the weakest people among us. You know what I'm saying? I was lost my mind for like 4 hours. Like, it wouldn't be impossible. Sorry. It wouldn't be impossible. And you think, well, God, who's our pastor? I just can't stand it. It makes me. But you know what? I have no control over that whatsoever. I do have control over how much time I give to that. How much I pray, how much I read the book, how much I can get settled in my mind and focus on somebody. You know what? Guess what? Maybe one day, this sounds crazy, and you think, maybe I can minister to somebody in a capacity that would minister to somebody where that person wouldn't hit somebody like that. Amen? Whew. Ouch. You want to rescue this? You know what? One of the biggest... In the scriptures, you know who the person was that was the most dangerous person on the street back in Bible times? Saul. Right? Saul, Paul. How are we going to get rid of him? Get him saved. You don't have to worry about him no more. If we get him saved, we don't have to worry about him. Man, God will break me down. He breaks us down, don't he? We got two periods of time. We got time to get saved, and after you get saved, it's time to focus on the gospel. Amen? I was asked this question with this tonight when I was teaching. I was going to ask this. Have you had the opportunity to share the gospel with people, and have you ever got to see somebody be saved? If you have, it'll change your life. Amen? You're not the saver. I mean, we know that. But man, I'm going to tell you right now, you ever get hooked up like that, you'll want to do it the rest of your life. Amen? You will. If you ever hear somebody lean over and pray, accept the Lord Jesus Christ when you've been a part of it. Jason Medina, the first person I ever led the Lord. I still remember his name, 21 years old. He's in heaven already. Amen? I remember. Good Lord, I remember. I quit the day before. I told y'all a story before. I quit the day before that. I wasn't going to preach no more. God has a big sense of humor. I preached that next day. First person I've ever seen come to the Lord. He walked down the aisle and got saved. Golly, but I made that cool. Anyway, sorry. Let's go a little bit further. But, beloved, be not ignorant. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come. Ooh, here's where we're going to stop right here, I promise. But the day of the Lord will come. Underline that in your Bible. That's a promise. That's kept by a word. But the day of the Lord will come. You might as well just underline that, highlight that, make sure you know that. He's coming. If you're a saved Christian, if you're born again Christian, every once in a while, it wouldn't be bad for you to just go over and roll over and look at that every once in a while and say, the day of the Lord will come. You know, just like when Jesus entered into Mary, amen, just when he was born, when he died on the cross, those were days that they never thought would happen. Amen? So guess what? One day, it could be in our lifetime, easily. The revelations has been fulfilled. It's easily. The day of the Lord will come. You need to remind yourself of that. That's going to happen. So when you hear, get all this bad, all this stuff going, you remind yourself, COVID-19, you know, protests, riots, what's the economy looks, who's going to be the next president? The Lord's coming back. The Lord will come back, all right? The day of the Lord will come. Listen, how's he going to come? As a thief in the night. How do thieves in the night come? When they think nobody's paying attention. Amen? Goodness gracious, that could happen easily now, right? When nobody's paying attention. A thief don't ever come to your house going, man, I hope there's a whole lot of people there. I hope we're having a party. What they do is they try to figure out when are they absolutely not going to be ready for this. When are they going to be totally checked out? Either mentally or physically, right? That's how the Lord's going to come back. Come on, can y'all, I want y'all to get this right here. Think about that. Could we be more closer to where we're at physically and mentally just checked out more than we are right now? And God just come back and get his church? Man, that'd be amazing. Let me read that whole. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, even Keith's Jeep. That's what it says. No, it doesn't. I'm just kidding. I threw that in there just for good measure. If y'all know, never mind. Do y'all believe it? Ain't that cool? Everything we worry about, everything we're concerned about, everything we even give thought about, gone. But so are we, right? So are we. As a thief. Amen? And you say, why are we looking at this tonight? The two main things, the takeaways. This is why we taught this tonight. Here's your two takeaways. Pray for people to be saved that you know that are not saved. Sounds like last week, don't it? And number two, you have your time left. I don't know how old you are. I don't know what your health is. I don't know exactly. I know God's got an appointed day for you to pass away. But while you were yet alive, he needs you to spread the gospel. And the gospel seed is just like any other seed. Once planted, you never know when it's going to take root. Once planted, you don't know when that crop's coming up. But you know if you do plant it, it will come. It will come up. Amen? Did y'all learn anything? You learned something. That's all that really matters to me, if you learned something.